As always, an outline will come up on the screen to help you to follow and to take notes if you want to. Incidentally, I write the notes for preachers, and I wrote saying that on Name Sunday it needs to be a shorter sermon than normal. And I can see John Hobbs looking at his watch to start my timing there. But I haven't started yet, John, okay? I only realized it was Name Sunday at about 7 o'clock this morning. So I've had the red pen out and made this a great deal shorter. What you will discover is it's about the same length it should have been if it was normal length rather than longer than usual. But anyway, there we go. So if you would turn back to Luke chapter 2 and page 56 of the New Testament section. How did Jesus come across? What impression did he make on the people of his day? Today we begin a series of sermons called Jesus Through First Century Eyes. The aims of this sermon series are clear. First, to understand the impact Jesus made in his lifetime. If you and I were able to visit Galilee or Judea in the first century, and if we were to ask, what kind of person is this Jesus from Nazareth? What do you make of him? What sort of replies would we have got? We want to find out answers in this sermon series. And second, to prepare for the Passion Play and its impact on people today. The Passion Play, as I'm sure you know, is not just about the death and resurrection of Christ. It's about the whole life of Christ, from his birth to his rising from the dead. As we bring our guests and members of our family, we hope they'll understand more clearly why Jesus had such an impact when he was on earth, and that some of them will find he has the same powerful impact on them today. And today's sermon is on Jesus the Expected One from Luke chapter 2. The fact is that many first century Jews were expecting the Messiah. They knew that in the Old Testament God had repeatedly said he would send his Messiah, which is only the Hebrew or Aramaic way of saying his Christ. Simeon, who appears in this story, had a special reason for expecting the Messiah. Look at verses 25 and 26. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so a question that buzzed around Jesus was, is this the Messiah? John the Baptist, for the most part, was sure Jesus was the Messiah. The demons whom Jesus cast out were certainly sure. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, were sure he was not. The people in general vacillated. And eventually the disciples were certain he was the expected Messiah. So what kind of Messiah was he? And the first thing Simeon said about him would have been totally unexpected, the last thing almost any first century Jew wanted to hear. Jesus is saving light for the Gentiles. That is for non-Jews. Look with me from verse 28. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The Jews were like Iraq today. They had an occupying power, and they hated it. They wanted to be rid of the Romans. They wanted all non-Jews to be out of power. And that they wanted the Messiah to do. But far from chasing out non-Jews, Jesus opened Gentiles' eyes to God. He was, verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. I've been reading with my daughter Eleanor, at least looking together, about the discovery of Tutankhamun's tomb. Now imagine you were Howard Carter and you broke through into the tomb, and for the first time your torch beam lands on this incredible wealth of artifacts, the only pharaoh's tomb ever that has not been plundered. How exhilarating for you. Our knowledge of ancient Egypt and of royal customs has been completely transformed by this revelation. And so it is with us Gentiles in our knowledge of God. Before Jesus, the Greeks were worshipping a motley bunch of bickering, philandering, jealous, and self-centered gods. Before Jesus, we in this country were probably worshipping trees and rivers and fertility goddesses. Jesus came and revealed God to us. From then on, we knew what God was like, that he was like Jesus, that God was Jesus. One of the things we think about especially on this Trinity Sunday. And our understanding of God, our knowledge of God, has been completely transformed by this revelation. The fact is, Jesus lights the way to God for us. I can see that all parents with children in the creche are gradually leaving. We'll be sort of half the congregation in a moment. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, we heard from an ex-policeman. At the age of 37, he began to look into religions. But where to start? There are so many religions. He said he looked into them all, but found as he did so that one figure stood out, one figure towered above all the others. And Jesus lit the way for him until he found God. And Jesus is also, says Simeon, saving glory for Jews. Having said in verse 32 that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, Simeon goes on, and for glory to your people Israel. If I wrote down, the greatest glory of the Jews is, I wonder how you would finish the sentence. Those who know their Old Testament might say the Ten Commandments, or the Book of Psalms, or that they believed in only one God when all around them believed in a multiplicity of gods. People who don't know the Bible might say the greatest glory of the Jews is their courage and resilience in the face of centuries of persecution, or their extraordinary musical ability. But the New Testament is clear. The greatest glory of the Jews is that Jesus was a Jew. There can be no honor or privilege higher than that. He is the glory of God's people Israel. And he is their salvation. Simeon says in verse 30, mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. In other words, Jesus is the way to be saved. Jesus is the way to God for Gentiles, and Jesus is the way to God for Jews. Now, some people say it's quite wrong for Christians to try to bring Jews to faith in Christ. The CMJ, the Church's Ministry to the Jews, or Jews for Jesus, are misguided organizations. But the New Testament is in no doubt at all. Jesus is the glory of God's people, Israel. Jesus is the way of salvation for Jews as well as Gentiles. The vast majority of the New Testament was written by Jews, and they all agree Jesus is the only true way to God for Jews. Well, if that rather briefly is the kind of Messiah Jesus was, what impact did this have in his lifetime? And there's no doubt of the answer to that question. Jesus' life and ministry divided people. That's what Simeon prophesied in verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child, Jesus, is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, Mary, too." In other words, he would cause division. He did throughout his life. You were either for him or against him. Some were tripped up by Jesus. As Simeon says, verse 34, "This child is destined for the falling of many in Israel." He wasn't what they were expecting. He wasn't what they wanted in a Messiah. And so he was like a big boulder in their way, which they stumbled over, and he provoked their downfall. And the fact is, some are tripped up by Jesus today when he gets too close. One of the saddest things for me is to see a friend of mine or one of your friends become interested in the Christian faith, start coming fairly regularly to All Saints, get clearly excited about what they're discovering, and then find that the challenge is too great. Christ's asking them to give him their life is too much, and they back away. They've stumbled over Christ and his demanding love, and it's proved their downfall. But by contrast, some were raised up by Jesus. As Simeon puts it in verse 34, "This child is destined for the rising of many in Israel." He lifted them out of their difficulties, their worries, their hopelessness, their guilt before God. And he gave them new life. The word for rising in verse 34 is exactly the same word the New Testament uses for Christ's rising from the dead. So Jesus raises us up, bringing us from spiritual death without God into new spiritual life with him. And still, some are raised up by Jesus today when he comes close. And it was lovely for us last Sunday at the confirmation service to see some of our Discovering Christianity members stand up to show that they've come to faith in Christ over the last 12 months, that they've been raised to new life by Jesus. And so finally, to the second aim of this sermon series, what will the impact of the Passion Play be on our guests? I'm hoping to go several times, bringing different friends on different nights or to matinee performances. Maybe you are too. So how will our guests react to the life of Christ? Some won't see beyond the play. They'll make appreciative comments to us about the acting, about the quality of the direction, and the professionalism of the entire event, and that will be it. Some will not like what they see. Already there are some in the town who are asking why the community is putting on a religious play. Some will come half decided that they're going to criticize. And others will find the message too close to the bone and want to avoid the subject. Or to use the language here, they will fall over the message of Jesus. But some will see the light of the world. Not only will we who love Christ already find it exciting as we see new aspects of the life, the love, the lordship of Jesus, But there will be some who realize for the first time that Christ is the true light and find themselves drawn to him, just as the BBC Two series, The Monastery, is causing a great surge of people asking about the Christian faith. And some of our guests, gloriously, at the play itself, or as we bring them to the Hot Potatoes course that will follow the play, or bring them to the Discovering Christianity course in the autumn, some of our guests will be raised to new life by Christ. Let's pray.